we're finishing up our series called Power Encounter, and I want to talk to you today about one of the most practical things that you can do in your relationship with God, but it's also one of the most powerful things that you can do, and I think that I've actually found something that can help all of us to participate in this in our relationship with God. So Anthony, why don't you just show us this and give your attention to the screen for a moment.
When it comes time to pray, we've discovered that many Christians panic over the very thought of being called on. We often take drastic measures to ensure we're not the ones being asked to lead in prayer. That's why we've created a two-disc DVD set, Prayer Master. Now, you can throw your prayer concerns as far away as east from west. With Prayer Master, we cover it all. Is your prayer full of ums?
And,
Prayer Master solution, simply substitute with Father.
Just been beautiful weather, Father, and Father, we lift up these prayer requests to you, Father. We
know now, that's supplication. Lives, not only will Prayer Master make you sound holier, it'll make you look holier, simply by mastering some praying stances. Learn from our black belt in Prayer Master, Master Reverend Thurgood. Once you've mastered the pros and the pose, you'll also learn how to become a better prayer listener. Prayer Master will teach you how to place those affirming grunts at the appropriate times. Mm-hmm. Not since the WWJD bracelet has any product made it so easy to make a holy first impression. With Prayer Master, we'll have you prepared to look good praying in any situation.
In this desolate hour, you know the sorrow that has befallen us. Lord, you giveth and you taketh away. We find solace in knowing that death has already been conquered by our Lord Almighty. Amen and amen.
So what if you weren't born with the spiritual gift of prayer? Now it can be yours for just three easy payments of $29.99. Buy Prayer Master right now. Not only will you receive the DVD set, but we'll also throw in a cassette tape featuring prayers narrated by Charlton Heston's second cousin. Now, next time someone asks,
who wants to pray?
You can say,
I do.
All right. All right. Wow. Yeah. So I think that you probably can get the point of this, and that is that it's not how you pray. The point is that you pray. And we're going to just dive right in here. I'm aware of the time, and I am going to fly here, but I want to give time for the Lord to do what he wants to do. So let's begin at James chapter 4 and verse 2. Very poignant verse of Scripture says, you don't have because you don't ask. And so Jesus deals with that, gives us the solution in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And this is what it says. I tell you, verses 9 and 10 of Luke 11, that's Luke 11, verses 9 and 10, thank you. And Jesus says, I tell you, keep asking, and it will be given you. Keep seeking, and you will find. Keep knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. So the point is that you pray, and that you keep on asking. And I want to encourage somebody this morning, because maybe you don't feel like you are a prayer professional, and maybe you don't get your these and your thous in just the right place, and maybe you don't hold your head at just the right angle or look super holy when you pray. But the point is this, that God is a prayer answering God. And so if you will pray, he will answer. Man, I've just been feeling this about spending time in the presence of God and what happens when you do that. And I usually don't take the time to read such a lengthy passage of Scripture, but I was meditating on this yesterday, and I just felt God kind of quicken this to my spirit. I felt like this was almost a word for our church, and I know specifically for some individuals here, but I just want to read quickly through this. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, dwells, abides, stays there in fellowship with God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Now look at the promises that happen, that take place in our lives if we make him our dwelling or our habitation. It says, surely he shall deliver you. Anybody want deliverance in your life? He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid. Man, I could just stop right there and have some church. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Now watch, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you look and behold the reward of the wicked. Now, all of that is possible because, verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Watch verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now this is where I want to go. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Did you hear the word of the Lord last week that said we are entering into a season of answered prayer? The prayer that is not prayed will not be answered, but the word is, if you will pray it, if you will say it, if you will get into a conversation with God, he will answer. And God says, I will deliver him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is the promise from God to you today, that if you will call upon him, he will answer. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. There are some people that just are afraid of prayer. They don't get into prayer because they think that it's just something that's reserved for an exclusive club of really spiritual people. And so, you know, that may be good for them, but I'm not really all that good. Well, I want to give you just some simple ideas about prayer. In fact, four simple ideas real quickly. Just kind of machine gunning it here, if that's all right? Four simple ideas about prayer, some principles that are going to help us, all right? So here's the first one, and this is based on Mark chapter 11 and verse 17. Jesus taught and saying to them, is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? The first thing that you should know about prayer is that we should all pray. God had in his mind when he established the tabernacle, established the temple, and now in the new covenant, what the relationship with God is all about is that prayer would be something for every single nation, that every man would pray, that every woman would pray, that every child, every boy, every girl would pray, that men everywhere would pray. And it doesn't matter what their race is or what their culture is, what their ethnicity is. It doesn't matter if they've got the greatest education or the lowest education, whether they've got money or no money. It's just that everybody should pray, because when you pray, God says, I will answer. So we should all pray. Let me give you a second point. Very, very simple. Based on Luke 18 and verse 1, Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we should all pray, and we should always pray. You guys got that? We ought always to pray. In other words, everybody should pray, but we should always pray. In other words, we should not stop praying. We should pray. What does it say? God answers prayer in the morning. Remember singing that old song? God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening, so pray for his coming soon, right? God answers prayer at any time of the day. It's not about whether you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. It's that you pray. And God will hear you if you pray at 4 o'clock, but we also know from the book of Acts that he poured out his spirit at 9 o'clock in the morning. We know that the disciples were on their way to pray at the hour of prayer, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we know that Peter laid before the Lord and had a vision at noon while he was waiting on his lunch to be prepared. So you can pray in the morning, at noon, at night, any time of the day, and God will answer you. Should always pray. Always pray. So what do I pray about? Let me give you another verse. Philippians chapter 4. This is the third thing. Philippians 4 and verse 6. What should I pray about? He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So we should all pray. We should always pray. and we should pray about all things. Now, can I ask you, Greek scholars, does anybody know what the Greek word all means? You guys are on it. We should all pray, we should always pray, and we should pray about all things, small stuff, big stuff. I know some people, man, they don't want to trouble God with the small stuff because he's got a lot on his plate, right? He's God. Okay, think about it for just a moment. What do you mean, God? God's too busy for you? God can't handle the small stuff? No, Jesus said we are to pray for the small stuff. He said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, you can't get any smaller than a slice of bread. Jesus is basically saying every meal, you just trust God for that. You pray for that. I know it's small, but you just offer that up to the Lord. And he says you can also take the big stuff before the Lord because nothing is too big for God. Nothing is impossible with him. And I'm going to tell you, there are times, I know you've probably experienced this on your own, man. You know, you could pray for your meal in about 10 seconds, right? Some of you got those prayers mastered. Got your little thing, you say. Thank you, Jesus, for this food, and da-da-da-da-da, and you do that, kind of throw that out, you know? What's that one? God is great, God is good, let us thank you for this food. God is great, God is neat, let's hurry up and let's eat, you know, that kind of stuff. But then there are times in your life when God calls you to a season of intense, focused prayer where you spend time in the presence of the Lord. And a lot of times, now this is what's awesome about this, is a lot of times when he does that for you and it's time to pray a lot more, that means something big is getting ready to happen. Jesus Christ himself, there were times when he would pray prayers that were short, that were powerful, bam, got the work done. But there were other times when he spent quality time with God because there were big things that needed to happen. I like this one in Luke 6, verse 12 and 13. It says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. And he continued, Jesus continued all night in prayer to God. Why did he do that? Why did he spend all night? Has anybody ever done that before? You spent the night hours praying. You were pacing back and forth and you're praying for that son. You're praying for that daughter. You're praying for that job. I mean, you're into it. Well, Jesus, he did this. He continued all night in prayer to God because something big was about to happen in verse 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. There was something that needed to happen. Something big was going to happen. And so he spent time in prayer. God said, if you will take the small stuff, you'll take the big stuff to me, I will answer. You say, well, I don't have much to pray for. I mean, I really, Pastor James, man, he's so right. I kneel down and 5 minutes later, I'm done. Let me tell you something. You've got a whole world to pray for because you can pray for your kids and you can pray for your wife and you can pray for your husband. You can pray for your pastor. You can pray for your pastor's family. You can pray for your church and for your city and for your nation and for your world. You've got something to pray for. And God said, if you'll pray, I will answer. So we should all pray. We should always pray. We should pray about all things. But how should we pray? This is Jesus as well, Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Did you catch that? Whatever you ask in prayer, in faith, you will receive. Receive. Did you know that it is possible to pray without faith? That's right. You can pray without expectation. You can turn prayer into a religious ritual. And your only motivation is to get through it because you know you're supposed to do it. And you feel shame and guilt if you don't do it. And so it's not about faith. It's not about relationship. It's about ceremony and just getting it done. But I'm going to tell you, millions and millions of hours of prayer are wasted because they're not done in the context of a living, thriving relationship with God. But he says, look, if you've got enough faith to trust me, if you've got enough faith to believe in me, and you come to me in prayer with that kind of faith, then it will be done. We all want to receive answers to our prayers, right? We don't want to hinder prayer. And how many of you know that there are ways that we can hinder prayer from being answered? Oh, there's probably a million different ways that we can hinder it if we want to. I've just got time for one. I just want to throw this out. This is just a free one, okay? I'll just throw this in for free right here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. This is just an example. I'm going to speak directly to the men, right? Get ready to have your hair blown back if you got any. Here it is. Husbands! Did you feel that? Whew, that was powerful. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, talking about your family, your wife, with understanding. I heard the ladies all say amen. That's pretty good. Top 10 things that people have discovered about women over the centuries, the top 10. Number one, it says, dwell with them. It's the only way to dig out of the hole right now. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. I didn't say she was the weaker vessel. Some of your wives could take you down. It says you're to treat her as if she were the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace. By the way, you need to be looking at your wife like she's a child of God, just like you are. Stop this one-upmanship that just because you have hair on your chest that somehow you're better than her and you're more powerful than her. She's a child of God, just like you are. It says you're heirs together of the grace of life that, if you don't do, watch this, that your prayers be not hindered. You want your prayers answered in your life. You want prosperity in your family. You want your children to be saved. You want things to go right. You want it to go well. You want to have revival. You want to have the presence of God. You're praying for something to happen. Then treat your wife right. My God, the men aren't jumping up and down shouting right now, but I'm feeling it. Love you, baby. So it's possible that your prayers can be hindered. But you want your prayers to be answered. Treat her right. Freebie. Okay. Get her done, he said. Oh, that was funny. I don't care who you are right there. All right. And the prayer, watch this. This is so powerful because this shows you what believing prayer, what prayer in faith actually accomplishes, can accomplish. James 5 and verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer of faith. What kind of prayer? Prayer that is believing. Prayer that is trusting. So we should all pray. We should always pray. We should pray about all things. And we should pray in faith. And God is saying, if you will call upon me, I will answer. Pastor James, I got to be honest with you. I can't wait to get here Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Because I know that when I begin to pray in faith that God is going to answer. Because he's given a specific word at this season that prayers will be answered. Now, he always answers prayer. But they're going to be answered speedily, quickly, supernaturally, in a way that you know that it's the hand of God and not the hand of man. It's coming. God is a prayer answering God. So I'm gonna close today just with four quick things. How does God answer prayer? We've talked about kind of the principles of what we should do, how we should pray, etc. But how does God answer prayer? We've got to be careful about this because sometimes we want him to answer our own way, and that's not always the way he does it. So here's number one. How does God answer prayer? First of all, God answers in his own time. Did you get that? God answers in his own time. I was thinking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, New Testament in the Gospels. And how he was a priest of the Most High God, and that they were up in years, they had grown old together, and they had spent years praying, God, give us a son, give us a son, give us a son. And they never got a son until the point was they had grown so old that they were unable to have children anymore. And he just kept on going. I don't know if they had given up. I don't know if they stopped praying that prayer. But I know that at one point they prayed that prayer because in that society, in that day, having a son was considered a badge of honor. And so they continued. But finally, I mean, they got past the point of being able to bear a child. And so they just went about their business. And he went to the temple on the day that he was supposed to go. And he went through the ritual and he did his thing. But on that particular day, near the end of his life, an angel showed up. And he said, your prayers were heard in the beginning, and I am going to give you a son. You say, now wait just a moment, God. I prayed this prayer a long time ago when we were physically able to have a child, and now you're telling me, now that I'm too old to have a child, that now I get to have one. But God answers prayer in his own time. And he could have answered Zacharias' prayer and Elizabeth's prayer 30 or 40 years before. And they could have had a son or they could have had a daughter, and I'm sure it would have been a great child. I'm sure they would have had a great time as a family and all of that. But God said, there's a reason why I'm waiting to this particular day at this particular time. Because Zacharias and Elizabeth, there is a day coming when I need a John the Baptist to step on the scene. And when I tell you you're going to have a son, it's not going to be an ordinary son. It's going to be a man that literally declares the coming of the presence of the Lord. He's going to be the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. The reason why I have waited to answer your prayer until my own time is because I am going to do something amazing in this world. He answers in his own time, but he heard you in the very beginning. You got to let God answer in his own time. Secondly, is that God answers in his own way. How many of you know we want it all and we want it right now? And you know, sometimes God does that. Man, sometimes God does that. He just shocks us and bam, there it is, and there's the answer. But you know, there's other times when God doesn't do things the way that we think he should do them. How many of you know that your time of prayer is not a time of giving God his marching orders? Some people, they start off their morning with prayer because they got to tell God what to do. He says, no, I'm going to do things in my own way. And so here's Israel, and they've been given this incredible promise. You're going to go into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you a land that you get to habitate. I mean, this is going to be your home. This is going to be an awesome thing. And so they're there at the Jordan River, and the waters part, and they march across, man, and they're ready to inhabit the entire promised land. And God says, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this. I'm just going to give this to you an inch at a time. Just take a few steps there toward Jericho, And we'll get through Jericho, and then once we've got Jericho, then we'll go to Ai, and once we go to Ai, then we'll go to the next towns. And so inch by inch and giant by giant and city by city, God says, I am giving you the promised land. And for some of us that want everything right now and we want it our own way, God says, no, I've got a better way for you, because we're not ready for everything. What we think we want is not always what we need. I'm thinking about a son. We call him the prodigal son. And one day he goes to his father and he says, Father, I understand that I have an inheritance here. And I know that there's going to come a day when I get to receive that inheritance. And so I'm going to ask you. I'm going to have a prayer conversation with you right now. I'm going to ask you, Father, to give me my inheritance right now. All of it. And the father in the story does. And where does the son end up? He ends up hanging out with a pen full of bacon. Think about it for a second. He's feeding the pigs. He got all of his inheritance, but he lost every bit of it because he wasn't ready. God says, if you'll let me do it in my own way, you will receive the fullness of the blessing. And then let me give you a third one. I'm almost done. God answers prayer through his own power. Through his own power. I know, man, the second that we have needs in our life, usually what we do is we jump on our resources. What do I have? What can I do? How can I make this work? How am I going to make this happen? And the last thing that we do is go to God, right? He's like the last resort. He's like our last chance. But God says, no, listen, I want to do this through my own power, not through yours. And I'm thinking about Abraham and Sarah now. And Abraham, he's too old to have a son, I thought. Sarah's too old to have a son. But God had promised them, you're going to have a son. I'm going to give you a son. Well, they waited and they waited. How many of you know it's hard to wait for the answered prayer sometimes, right? Kind of hard waiting. And they said, well, you know what? Maybe what God meant by giving me this word that I've been holding on to for all these years, maybe what he meant was that I should figure out how to make this happen. And so Sarah comes up to Abraham and she says, hey, you know, Abraham, I'm old. I can't have kids. I know God promised this, but there's no way that I can put a baby in this womb. I mean, it's old. There's no way. I'm past the time. She says, but Abraham, if you'll just look at my maidservant Hagar. She's a cute little Egyptian. Abraham's like, I can get on board with that. He didn't put up a fight. He didn't put up a struggle. In fact, here he is completely in the flesh saying, I think that's God. Now, Pastor James, can I preach a little bit right here? Come on. Stop blaming God for the stuff that you want to do. Just because you're impatient and don't want to wait for God to meet the need, you want to do it your own way, stop blaming God. You're getting yourself into trouble. And Abraham got himself in a passel of trouble, ended up having a boy by the name of Ishmael, and Ishmael's descendants are still causing problems in the Middle East today. I'm telling you, men, right now, if your wives come up to you and they say, baby, I've got a handmaiden I'd like you to consider, don't do it! I don't know how many of you guys have handmaidens, but point of this story is don't do it. Because God comes along and says, look, what you did was a demonstration of what can be done through the power of the flesh. But I want to show you what I can do through my own power. I can take a shriveled up womb that's in a woman's body that's way past the years, and I can make it come to life again and have a son supernaturally. I can do something that's amazing to this world if you'll let me do it through my own power. Let me give you one last one. God answers prayer for his own purpose. I know what your purpose might be and what my purpose might be. Usually we pray for a relief of pain, for a relief of suffering, for a relief of consequences, for bad decisions, right? We pray all of those kind of prayers. But when God answers a prayer, he answers it for his own purpose. And one of those purposes might blow your mind. You might be wondering why you're even going through what you're going through. But we talked about a lame man not long ago that was lame from his mother's womb. And everybody was questioning and wondering why. Why is this man lame? Why is he going through this? It must be a lack of faith, or it must be sin in his parents or in his life or something like that. But Jesus said, no, you're not getting the point here. He has this situation in his life because God wants to bring glory to his name. That's one of the purposes of answered prayer, for God to bring glory to his name. Stop putting so much stress on yourself. You're not trying to make this happen for your own reputation. God's got a reputation to uphold. He does it for his own glory. And there's another purpose that God answers prayer. I could probably go through a million of them, but I'll stop with this one and I'm done. God answers prayer because he's a good God and he likes to bless his children. Now, that may not be the God that you were raised believing in, but this is the God that I've come into relationship with here. The God that the Bible says in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 17, that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That means that God is in the business of giving good gifts to his children, and he's never going to change from that pattern of living. That's what God does. And so sometimes God answers prayer just because he's a good God and he wants to bless your life. So God answers prayer in his own time. He answers it in his own way. He answers it through his own power. And he answers it for his own purpose. But the point is this: God is a prayer answering God. And he has given a word to us that if we will call upon him, he will answer. Do you receive the word of the Lord today? Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. We're going to close with this. I want to finish up today where we started. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. This is a word for you today. I tell you, Jesus says, keep asking. Don't stop. Keep asking and it will be given you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking. And it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You know what's interesting about this? Now this is not the Greek language, this is the English language. But if you look at that verse, you'll see three things that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be asking, seeking, and knocking. Isn't it interesting that the first one, asking, starts with the letter A. And the second one starts with the letter S. And the third one starts with the letter K. And if you put those three together, A-S-K spells what? This is what God is trying to get across to you. If you'll be willing to enter into a conversation with God, if you'll just be willing to talk to God, if you'll just ask. What did he say in James 4:2? You have not because you ask not, but if you ask, you will receive. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. This is something we can do in church, but I don't want it to just be about an altar call. I want this to be something that you take with you. I feel like that God is issuing a challenge to His people, to this church family, to where every one of us would become people of prayer. Now, this is what I'm talking about. I know that for some of us, we know what it's like for prayer to be preached as a heavy, burdensome, painful, even boring kind of practice. This is not what God has in mind for you when you pray. He doesn't want you to be bored. He doesn't want you to be half asleep. I told you, I remember, man, back in the day when I was a teenager and I was really spiritual. Man, getting up at 3:45 in the morning, hit the prayer room at 4 o'clock, stopped praying about 6:30. There were times, man, I was praying at about 4:30 in the morning, and I literally came to myself and I heard myself saying, I worship my holy name. Now, come on, son. I know nobody here has ever done that, right? I remember one time, man, I was walking back, and I was intense, man. I was praying, man, and I came to myself, and I heard my voice, and I was literally saying, I bind you, Jesus. I bind you, Jesus. I don't even know what I was talking about. God says, no, I just want you to enter into a conversation with me. You don't have to have your these and your thous right. You don't have to speak in Elizabethan English. I mean, you can just talk to me. Tell me what's on your heart, and if you'll call on me, I will answer you.